D1, number 17B.
It is that period, really, where the symbol and the idea is one. And I have a sneaking feeling that in regard to the classification of our levels, that the fifth period is having the accent on the level of Christian Science, just as it was shown by Jesus, that he could symbolize the idea in every way he wanted to, in the material, in the financial, in the political, in the social, in the sociological, in the theological field of life. He was the practical man, practical Christianity. In the 6,000 year, the symbol, said John Dorley, is principle, and the symbol is idea. The symbol is science, and the symbol is the idea of system. So we have the symbol of the synonymous terms and the symbols of the ideas. And the 6,000 year is seeing how the synonymous terms are related to the ideas. And that is exactly what we have seen is absolute Christian Science. As if that 6,000 year period is indicating the stage of absolute Christian Science. Anyway, focusing it there. Then, with the 7,000 year period, which we are approaching, see, again, I come from another standpoint, from another classification, to see where are we now? What are the signs of the time? Can we know the signs of the time? We are approaching that 7,000-year period where we begin to see that the symbol is the synonymous terms, no more the idea. The idea disappears when we touch the 7,000-year period. Just as when we touch divine signs, we touch the oneness, and we are no more interested in the relationship of principle to idea. That is, we are still interested in it, but that's no more the focus. I want to say it like that. So that the 7,000-year period has the accent on divine signs, love. And then naturally we know that after that, those 6,000-year period comes an eighth tone, the symbols disappear entirely, and we have just being, science itself, the infinite one which does not need to be symbolized anymore. So today we are on that verge from the 6th to the 7,000-year period. The sixth period, the sixth day of creation, has in its focal point man as idea, but the seventh hasn't in its focal point man. The term man doesn't appear there in the seventh day. The focal point in the seventh day is epitomized in the marginal headings of that exegesis as infinity measureless, as love and man coexistent. And John Dorley gives to that tone of love and love the epitome, the divine one. It's not the infinite one, it's the divine one. Now, may I put the question before our consciousness? Namely, why are we going to identify ourselves only as men when there is, after the sixth day, a seventh day? Or we can put it that way. Who has said that we are men? Who has said it? Tell me who has said it. The mortal has said it. The traditional mortal has said it, we are men. There was that mortal consciousness rising out from the chimpanzees to the early Pekingese men, and then from there to the Homo sapiens, and then from there a bit higher up and up and up to what is called the classical scientific man. But who has said that we are just men? Nobody perhaps has asked himself this question, because he has taken it for granted that we are men. I'm not going to take it anymore for granted. I don't believe it. I don't believe it, because the days of creation have 7 days and not only 6 days. And on the seventh day, we grow out of that sense that we have to demonstrate men, that we have to demonstrate in the symbolization which we had before in the 6,000-year period, that we have to demonstrate the idea. We have to demonstrate the One, the Divine One. So, did I shock you?
No.
Wonderful. No crucifixion today. You see, it's quite natural, the development. The development was a development of a mortal in history, a development of a mortal consciousness through history. And then in this age came the sense, isn't the mortal something more than a mortal? In the mythological age was the question, hasn't the mortal a soul than just a body? And if that soul is incorporeal, is not that soul immortal? And then in the scientific age came the contemplation that really ideas matter. Because in every science, especially in the exact sciences, only ideas matter. It doesn't matter if the investigator of those ideas, a man or a woman, if he has a stiff leg or a wooden leg, if he's half blind or not, just doesn't matter about men, just about idea. And so the idea arose that there is something more about men than a mortal, and so the metaphysical aspect of men as idea arose. And one began to see clearer and clearer that sixth day of creation, that man is idea. And so one was rising out and out of the mortal into the metaphysical, above the physical, into the metaphysical, but still thinking about man and thinking that we are men and identifying ourselves as men and seeing that man is the crown of creation and he isn't. The seventh day and the eighth day is the crown of creation. The development goes up creatively, up to the sixth day. On the seventh day, nothing is created, but there is a seventh day. And that seventh day, therefore, is something very different than a creative sense. It is, therefore, that integrated stage of which I have been speaking, where the Divine One includes right everything. And that Infinite One is the One. It includes man, all right. But it's much a bigger concept than just man. So, we can stay for a few weeks on that question. Why should we always try only to demonstrate man? Identify us with the true man. Why not go higher to the seventh day? That seventh day where she speaks of demonstrating the spiritual origin. No more the effect, the creation of that spiritual origin, which man is. Now, she says, in the exegesis of the seventh day of creation that we have to demonstrate the spiritual origin, showing that that is the thing with which we have to identify ourselves. What can fathom infinity? He doesn't say what can fathom the true man. That she was talking about in the sixth day of creation. How we can understand what the true man is as the image and likeness of God, as the eternal Elohim looking at himself and seeing himself as man. But now it is not knowing man, but how to fathom infinity. That's the question today. How to fathom infinity? And she says that we have to know the infinite. She doesn't say we have to know men. She doesn't say that we don't have to know men. Quite clear. But it is going further and shows that we have to know the infinite. And also she shows there that we can know that infinite through the mind of Christ, through the knowledge of the Son of God. But Son is capitalized there. It's not the small s. Through the knowledge of the Son, capitalized, of God, which is saying, in other words, through the mind, capitalized, the mind of Christ. Capitalized term. Can you see again, when viewed from the point of view of symbolization, that when we touch that seventh day, that we touch being only through the symbolization of the synonymous term, no more the idea? And that's where the chart comes in. The chart is all about the synonymous term. That's the symbolism of it. The symbolism of just the synonymous terms. And in that seventh day, she says, we can never know the infinite until we lay off the old man. That mortals cannot fathom the infinite. We have to lay off the old man. These are things which we can ponder and ponder. And then somehow something will touch us. I think it is the I. The I, which Mrs. Eddy says is spirit, the one being. Then we rise out of man as idea. And we touch really the I. That I, which is the same I of God and the I of man. There are not two I or ego, the one God and the one man. And the I is that which really unites God and man as one term. Then ideas are no more necessary for symbolization. Ideas are just tools, working tools for us to understand the synonymous terms. But once we understand and touch the synonymous terms, then the symbols of the ideas fall away, and the big symbol is the I, the ego. Then Mrs. Eddy says in the eighth dawn, God creates all through mind, no more through ideas. All through mind. All right, what is the issue of today? The issue is that we are coming to the end of the 6,000 period. In the 6,000 period, we demonstrate really man as a calculus of ideas. As a calculus of ideas. And in order to demonstrate that, we need the principle with its infinite idea. That's the symbolization. But we know that the advent of the 7,000-year period is right around the corner. And we can say to ourselves, if we can look back and see that six times those periods have been realizing themselves in human history, we have a great certainty, that the seventh will happen too. That the seventh will come to pass too. So let's be pregnant with that concept that a complete mutation of consciousness is breaking on humanity. And each one who is a Mary and is pregnant with a new idea, even if, like Mary, doesn't yet see the exact form of it, but only knows the promise of it, then I think the consciousness is ready for the breaking in of that mutation, and that we can give birth to such a new mutation. It is divine science, the seventh period, and we know that Jesus, looked at properly, was not the child of Mary or of Joseph, nor of God. Divine signs which ushered Jesus into human presence is the rendering which Mrs. Eddy gives. Divine signs which ushered Jesus into human presence. So let's see that that seventh period of divine signs is that which ushers in the true sense of being. Jesus was able to reduce divine signs to humanity. Let us look at the whole picture from another standpoint. I would like to take that important sentence of principle and its idea is one, and think it over for a bit more in detail, just in order to show how consciousness can be made ready to receive this new mutation. How we can be a Mary of today. The statement reads first, principle and its idea is one. And this one is God, omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent being. Again, principle and idea. It's a typical 6,000-year period point. Principle and idea. We have the symbol of the synonymous terms and the symbol of idea. Leading on to the seventh. And this one is God. Only one term. Is God. And from there, that's the seventh. And from there, I think it leads on to the eighth. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent being. Capitalized B. So, if we take it step by step, we see idea is nothing else but the individualized expression of principle. Whenever we want to see an individualized expression of principle, we speak about idea. And the textbook says, man is the idea of God. So man really is the individualized expression of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love. If principle and idea is one, then really we begin to realize that mind and man is one. That, and this one is mind, God. Spirit and man is one. And this one is God, or Spirit. Soul and man is one. And this one is God, soul. Just go for yourself through those. You see, it's a stereotyped way, but it has a great effect on consciousness, because it takes away that sense where we just always think that man is the idea of mind. Now we go further and see mind and man is one, and this one is God. So that man, as the individualized expression of mind and spirit and soul, etc., is not separate from mind, spirit, soul, etc. Is not separate. Never separate. You see, we were being thinking mostly metaphysically up to now. Namely, we were trying to see the true meaning of man by lifting it out of the physical into the metaphysical, therefore lifting it into the realm of idea. Remember the definition of metaphysics as John Dolley gives it? It says, metaphysics is the contemplation of ideas. So we were contemplating man as the ideas of mind, as the idea of power and the idea of law and the idea of action and the idea of leading and guiding and intelligence and wisdom and perception. We were identifying man metaphysically through ideas. That was the symbolization. But when we come to science, and science is the contemplation of the infinite one, including within itself the infinite idea, then we are looking at man from the point of view of science by seeing, oh, well, then in science, mind and mind's individualization, which is man, is one. So from the point of view of science, of the new structure of consciousness, we begin to realize, oh yes, unfathomable mind is expressed. It's no more unfathomable. It's a paradox, this sentence. Unfathomable mind is fathomed now. When we come to the seventh day, because the whole, the Divine One, the whole, can never know itself except as a whole. Can never know itself only in parts of the whole, just as a few ideas. The whole can only know itself as the whole. That's the Divine One. Terrific. When we begin to see that that is our new structure of consciousness, that therefore man is no more just a metaphysical idea of mind, but man really is then mind, individualized, but still remaining mind. Not just idea. That mind, that man is spirit, individualized, but still remaining spirit, because spirit and idea is one. Still remaining spirit, capitalized. Man never drops away from principle to the level of idea. And so, my advice to you is try just to sit down quietly from time to time. And just ponder it, because one can't convey it or give it, but it the method is there. Just go through that and say, oh, I get a new sense of love and man coexistent, namely mind and man coexistent. Therefore, all there is about man is mind capitalized, individualized, infinitely individualized, but still remaining mind. Man is spirit, infinitely individualized, but still remaining spirit, with a capital S. I think about man is soul individualized, infinitely individualized, but still remaining the whole of soul. When soul is individualized, it still remains the whole, not just a tiny little part. So you go to principle and say, all right, man is principle, infinitely individualized, but still remaining principle. Man is life, infinitely individualized, but not just becoming an idea, he's still remaining life. And man is truth, infinitely individualized, but still that truth remains the whole of truth. When truth or any synonym is individualized, it doesn't become just an isolated idea. It still remains itself. See, when we come to the seventh day, the infinite, then the infinite can never know itself except as the infinite, can never express itself except in its infinitude, never in a limited sense. And so you come to love and you see, all right, what is man? Seen from the point of view of divine science, he is love, infinitely individualized, but still remaining love, capitalized. And in this way, really, we have a way of coming out of the sixth day of creation into the seventh. Coming out from seeing that we are just men, but now integrating man into the one being. We don't leave man behind, just as the sixth day doesn't leave the first 5 days behind. But it integrates all the creation of the 6 days into the one being. And our consciousness is at that point where we say our duty is not to demonstrate just man, the sixth day, but is to demonstrate its divine origin, as Mrs. Eddy says in the seventh, the one divine, where we broaden out our consciousness and see the infinite one is the new structure of consciousness.